Good morning. Good to be back here again to share with you God's precious word. When the chairman announced that the speaker will be speaking on two treats, I got a fright of my life. One sweet and one bitter, I suppose. But two treats, one good and one evil. So it's quite close. Well, we are really going back to the very basic of Jesus' teaching. As he desired to build up his disciples in the Word of God. These are the formative years of the disciples. They have come quite recently to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus, taking the opportunity, brought to them some very, very important lessons that will be so useful in their life. Even when he will be gone someday, the disciples, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, can continue in their right path, in that straight gate, producing fruits that are worthy of their calling. This morning, we are going back to chapter 7 of Matthew, which form parts of Christ's Sermon on the Mount. And as he ends this chapter, his sermon, he gives very, very informative words. He gave very strong warning that each disciple, each follower must take heed. But there is something about the Lord's teaching which amazed me. Two threes. In fact, in our earlier reading of these few chapters of the Lord's Sermon, he talked about two different kinds of giving, two different kinds of prayer. He talks also about the two types of masters that one has to follow, that one has to choose, either one or the other. He talks about the two ways of gate, one leading to life eternal, the other leading to destruction. He talks about the two kinds of trees that we will be talking about this morning, two kinds of fruits that they will produce. He talks about the two groups that will stand before his judgment seat. Will they be found favorable? Will they be accepted? Or will they be rejected? He talks about the two kinds of builders, the wise and the fool, and the two kinds of foundation, on sand or on rocks. What's the whole purpose of this in Christ's teaching? Very clearly, in two, he's drawing the line. He's really comparing and he's really contrasting. And the one lesson that we can take away from this is our Lord Jesus Christ is drawing a fine line here between truth and error, between right and wrong, between life and death, but most importantly of all, between heaven and hell. And because of these important aspects to all these teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ in his one sermon, we really have to be careful where we are standing. Each one of us, really at the end of the day, there is no between nights. No one standing on the fan. No one is neutral. No one can say, I don't want to make any choices. I just want to be tolerant. I just want to be friendly to everybody. No, no. In the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is something that every one of us have to choose. It matters for life or for death. And I pray that God will help you and me to make the right choices in life. It's a long process, and I hope that we will truly be found in the right way.
But this morning we are looking just at these few verses that we've just read, found there in Matthew chapter 7 from verse 15 to verse 20. Jesus began by saying, "Beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets." So what he is really getting at is identifying, telling us who are these people that we got to be very, very wary of. He's talking about false prophets. Sometimes as Christians, we think that as long as I'm in this church, as long as I'm in the Bible preaching congregation, as long as I'm reading the Bible, I'm quite safe. Well, you never know when you go out there into the world, who are those people that you're mingling with? Who are those people that you're listening to? These can infect your minds and your hearts. Until this morning, I want to draw a few lessons for our attention as I outline in this way. First of all, let's talk about the danger of false prophets, the one that Jesus himself have brought out in his teaching. Secondly, how can we discern who are those true prophets, who are those true teachers, and who are those false teachers? And of course, those who cling on to the false teachings of these false prophets, not only will the false prophets be doomed, but all those who listen to them will likewise suffer the same fate as these false prophets, as we shall see as we go along, and some words of application as we end our lesson. So this morning, we're going to talk, first of all, as Jesus points out, about the danger of false prophets. He tells us here in verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." This is the first, or one of the first, beware in the sermon of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beware. Beware of imitation. Beware of wrong teachings. Beware of wrong friends, bad influence. Beware, beware. As parents, we keep telling our children, beware, be careful. Because you are going out into the world. You are facing these people. And they can influence you in the wrong path. What does this word beware mean? Well, looking into the original Greek, which I'm not an expert of, this is something that I borrowed from the commentary. Beware really means be vigilant, be careful, put on your guard, hold your mind, be focused upon what is right. Beware, put on your whole armor of God, beware. And the Lord Jesus Christ, using this word beware, use it as a command to his believers. This is a command. This is not what you choose to follow or not to follow. You can choose and pick God's word. No. You must obey this. You must take these in personally. It is a command that we as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ must obey. You cannot tell your sergeant major, I don't want to turn kiri, I want to turn kanan. Well, you can do that and end up being punished. But the Lord Jesus Christ telling his disciples that this is something that you have to take note. You cannot choose and pick this. You must obey. And not only that, it means really an obedience that is continuous. You have to be continually vigilant. You have to be continually on your guard. You have to stand your ground. You cannot give in a little. You cannot compromise a little. There is no way of anyone doing that and not face the consequences. So Jesus says, beware. But more than that, there is yet another preposition that the Lord Jesus Christ used too. In fact, the word pros, towards, and the word apor, of or from. Here it indicates in this command of the Lord Jesus Christ that someone who obeys him, someone who obeys this command, must not just keep this command close to himself, but at the same time, he has to beware of these people that will come in and will seek to destroy your life and will seek to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, it indicates it's keeping this command close to you while at the same time keeping away from the false prophets. It's a double-pronged approach by our Lord Jesus Christ, so that this is something not just about you keeping away, but at the same time guarding yourself close to the Word of God. Beware. So this is really serious stuff. Because if it comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, it must certainly be serious. It is serious because we are told there in Jesus' words, these false prophets are coming to you. And they are actively doing that. They take every opportunity. They see any door open for them. They will come in one foot. And very soon their whole body will be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beware of false prophets which come to you. And something even more serious is that they come to you not as a wolf. I mean, if a terrorist walk in with his gun and with his bombs, you will all run. But if he walks in innocently, dressed nicely, but with a backpack, or with a computer bag, he will say, welcome. So here we have false prophets, Jesus says, who will come to you, whether openly or secretly, insidiously, by putting on a garb of sheep clothing, looking innocent, looking harmless, looking friendly. But Jesus says inwardly they are the most dangerous, ravening wolves that will come and devour the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure you have seen video footage of how innocent lambs, gentle lambs, falling prey to wolves, to lions, to tigers. They just devour every part of that poor animal. They just tear it to bits. And this is how dangerous Jesus, in his words here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, that we have to put on our guards. Be careful. Beware. Because these false prophets are the most dangerous enemies to Christianity. They're the most dangerous to you and to me. How dangerous are they? You know, if you look at many Bible passages, as I've indicated here, you will realize that every apostle, every faithful preacher of the Word of God must warn his congregation of this danger that can creep in unaware into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look, for example, in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Paul, before he leaves Ephesus, because this is going to be the last time that he's going to meet with them. He has spent some considerable time with them, and he's going to leave them. He's going to die, really, in Jerusalem. But he tells them there in verse 28 to verse 31. He says, take heed, beware, therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which has purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, beware, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Why was the Apostle Paul taking all these efforts from house to house, day and night, doing so with much tears? You know, he can say, I'm just so happy that you have come to Jesus. You have said your sinner's prayer. You are now a Christian. Go on with your life. He did not. But instead, he made it an effort. He made it his job. He made it his responsibility to warn the disciples of the danger that can creep into the church. And this is common. This is common in every congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is common. This is to be expected. You know, we can put up all our defenses. We can put up our walls. We can tell our elders, be careful who gets baptized here. We lead them through some lessons of catechism. We teach them some Bible truths. Who knows? These are wolves in sheep's clothing. And therefore, it is better for us to be warned so that we can be forearmed, so that we can be ready when this thing hits us. They are dangerous. You have time, you read 2 Peter, 1 John. They all spoke about the same thing. Beware. Beware. Be on your guard. Take heed. Be careful. Watch. Pray. Know your Bible. That's really what all these writers are trying to tell us. These people are opposed. They are perverting biblical truths. And you know this is very, very serious. Because what we have in our hands, the Bible, the word of life, if the word of life is perverted, if the word of life is mixed, if the word of life is adulterated, it will not give life. But it will lead to death. It will lead to damnation. And we don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen to our lives. We don't want that to happen to our children. And we don't want that to happen to our church. In fact, the Bible tells us these are damnable doctrines. Paul used it. He named names. Yes, they are teaching, but they are teaching damnable doctrines. They may sound good. They may sound logical. They may even sound biblical, but they are damning. But we really have to be very, very careful. The danger of these false prophets. They come with great appearances of godliness and austerity. They come with their garb, refined, scholarly, with great eloquence, flowery words. That's when we are all taken captive. You know, years ago, I came from a church that invited a speaker somebody recommended, came all the way from UK. Well, he's an author of some books, quite well known, but really known for wrong reasons. People are conscious of this man. People are careful with this man. But we invited him with open arms to our congregation. And he came and he preached and we were all so taken aback by his preaching. Wow, what a great preacher. He preached something that we have never heard before. He's a better speaker than all our other pastors. Wow, we were all come with in big group. We all want to hear him. We don't mind sitting there on the floor for many hours. But you know what? He was a wolf. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. He came with his flair. He came with his, you know, his queen's spoken language. He impressed us greatly. His use of words is so enormous. And for weeks, we listened to this man. No, because he's impressed us so much, we put down our guides. Even our pastors were impressed by this Englishman. But slowly and surely, he infected our minds with his lies. He cast doubts of this pastor, of that pastor. He draw division between all these leaders of the church so that these pastors of the church cannot look eye to eye. And soon, the church began to split. Beloved, this is really a sad episode in the life of that church. Having built up the membership, and yet because of this so-called guest speaker, the church has to go its separate ways. How do we discern? How do we know that they are false prophets? The memory verse today, in fact, Jesus said this twice in Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. And then in verse 20 again, he says, wherefore, as he ends this section, he says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. By their fruits. How do we discern who this false prophet is? But by their fruits. What do we mean by their fruits? Do we mean that we must look at this person's character and make a judgment? Because the word used, fruit, can have this implication. It can mean a person's character. Or do we mean that this person, if he is producing the fruit of the Spirit, he is a true prophet? If he doesn't, he is a false prophet? Or do we measure him by the numbers of fruit, the number of converts, the number, how big the congregation is, to determine whether he is a true prophet or a false prophet? If in his ministry he is able to produce much fruits, big churches, huge congregation, in our mind, we say, yes, he must be used of God. Is it? Or do we determine, as we look at the fruit of this person, by his works, to know whether he is a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, all these are true. But what is more true is the Lord Jesus Christ pointing out very clearly what is it that we really need to look for as we discern whether this man, whether this person is really a true prophet, a true teacher of the Word of God. He went on to tell us, you know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No. What he's trying to tell us, that this person will produce fruit, and his fruit should certainly remain. His fruit will certainly be realistic, will be fulfilled. It is not something that is different from his true character,
from his true life, from his true work. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Jesus is asking this rhetorical question that has a big no to it. You can't gather grapes out of thorns. You can't gather figs out of thistles. It is impossible. So really, we do not judge a tree by its leaves. We do not judge the tree by its bark or by its flowers, but by the fruit that this tree bears. I mean, all of us know, when you look at your potted plant, if it is not producing the desired flower that you want to see and admire, you know there's something wrong with this tree. There's something wrong with this plant. You need to change it. You need to uproot it. You need to buy a new one. But how do we know them? If we look at his character, is he someone who will really imitate the Lord Jesus Christ in every of his ways? Whether in his nature, in his tendency, in his effects? Does his life show, does his teaching show that kind of conduct, that kind of spirit which is like our Lord Jesus Christ? We sang this morning about the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ like? We know the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the meekness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know his mind is pure with good intention, with godly motives. Nothing for himself. He doesn't gain because there are more disciples. He doesn't profit just because he has a great big church. That's the kind of mind that we see in our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, his love for souls. His love for souls. But if this someone comes to us and shows forth in one way or another his selfishness, his self-sufficiency, he doesn't like to rely on other people, he doesn't want to hear other people, he just has his own view, own opinions, he's filled with arrogance, he's so proud of himself, he has great ambition, then we really have to put up our guards. Is he really a person whom God has called, ordained, sent out to minister to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Next, in discerning these false prophets, we look at his fruit. Jesus used a very interesting word, evil fruit, he called it. What does it mean? This word evil really describes things that have died and things that have already been eaten up by worms. It is evil. You cannot eat it. It's distasteful. It's sour. It's bad. It's not good for health. It's evil. This word is also used quite frequently in the Old Testament that indicates that there is something stinking, that this is bad, and don't you take it. Don't you swallow it. Don't you welcome it. Keep away. It may be cheap. It may even be free. Don't take it. Jesus says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, what is Jesus talking about? Really talking about when he says that we can know them by their fruits? No, there is another passage not too far from our present one. We just have to turn to Matthew chapter 12. And I think Jesus in these verses spell out more clearly what is this fruit that he's talking about. Matthew 12, 33 to 37. All right? Are you there? Let me show you mine, because it highlights what Jesus is really getting at. It says, either make the tree good and the fruit and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruits. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. What is it that stands out in this words of the Lord Jesus Christ, which really is quite similar? It is an amplification, it is an addition to what we have just read and memorized in Matthew 7:20. But by their fruits ye shall know them. How do you know them? You can't judge their character. You can't shine a torchlight and see whether this man is selfish or proud or arrogant. We can't judge his outside. But there is something that we can judge. And making right judgment, a righteous judgment, as Jesus himself said, it is by listening to his words. It is by listening to his sermons. What is it that he's preaching? Jesus, in this short passage, actually brings forth to us that this is something that we want to be very, very careful. Because we know that this person, outwardly, he may seem godly and holy and he's austere. He knows the Bible. But when he opens his mouth, what does he talk about? Jesus made it clear that no evil person can speak good things. You know, there are examples in the Bible of people like that in the day of Jeremiah. If I may just refer to you very quickly, if you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 14, I was told I can have the whole day to speak to you this Sunday, so I'll take my time. Jeremiah 14. Look at verse 13 onwards. Jeremiah is complaining. He says, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, you shall not see sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesied lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither speak unto them. They prophesied unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. Well, these false prophets are saying nice things. They are saying good things. They are saying you will have no problem. You will have no famine. You will not come under the judgment of God. God will not be doing that. God is too loving. He will not punish you. God is too good. He will welcome you. He will forgive you. He will bring you up to heaven. No matter how you live your life, those are good things. But those are false things. And that's the reason why God was so upset with this kind of a preaching by these prophets. He says, I've never sent them. Don't listen to them. But in fact, he says he's going to judge them. By your words, thou shalt be condemned. So, beloved, knowing the fruits of these false prophets, when we hear it, we know immediately that this is not of God. That this man, that this teacher has not been sent by God. Let me show you another verse there in 2 John 1, 9 to 10, highlighting this. John says, Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, teaching of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come among you any unto you, and bring not this teaching, this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. What is this? Words. The words that they speak. I know we want to be very careful inviting speakers to your pulpit. But I know we cannot prevent you turning on your computer, going to that website, going to that YouTube, and listening to some of these preachings, famous preachers. We cannot prevent you doing that. But I want to caution you that you discern, that you put on the helmet of salvation, that you take the sword of the Word of God, and that you listen to truth more than you listen to lies. You know, sometimes we are not careful. We look for bigness. We look for numbers. We look for niceties. And before you know it, you fall into the trap of these who are false prophets. Be careful. John says, don't even welcome them into your house. They come knocking at your doors. And he says, let's have Bible study. I'm willing to spend my time. I'm willing to take time off to just sit down with you and open the Bible and teach you Jesus. John says, don't even welcome them. Don't even say goodbye. Don't bid him Godspeed. Because these are false prophets who will come and destroy your lives. They have corrupted the Word of God. And I'm sure you feel your heart should be boiling if they are telling you Jesus is not the Son of God, that there is no such thing as Trinity, that the Bible that you hold in your hands is full of wrong teachings. Let me give you a copy of what our inspired prophet has written. Beloved, let's be very, very careful to discern between right and wrong, to discern between truth and error, to discern between true servant of the Lord and false prophets that bring damnable doctrines. Lastly, what's the end of people like that? Jesus made it very, very clear. Here in Matthew 7:19, it says, every tree that bringeth not good fruit, if he's teaching wrongly, he will be hewn down and cast into the fire. And I think this is very, very serious. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is laying a law, a universal law, that whatever is useless and evil and corrupt and bad, you want to throw it away. You want to cast it aside. You don't want to have anything to do with it. That's a universal law. You don't keep rotten apples in your fridge. You don't keep broken down furnitures in your house. Anything that is bad, you want to cast it away. Because there is a warning in the words of the Apostle Paul. Little leaveneth, leaven leaveneth a whole lump. You don't want to put a bad apple in a basket with good apples. You don't want to mix them. So here really, the end of all these false teachers will not be reconciliation, will not be forgiveness, but it will be a hopeless and final ruin and destruction
of their bodies and their souls. This is serious. Jesus says it will be hewn down, axed, and cast into the fire. It's of no use. It is influencing other parts, other trees. It is corrupting other people's minds, other people's hearts. Their only end will be ruin and destruction. Let me end with some of the last few words in the Bible. Revelation 19:20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and then that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Another verse there in Revelation 20:10, it says, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That will be their end. But you know what? Not only all these who are teaching false doctrines of the Word of God will end up here, all those who will listen to this kind of teachings, who will imbibe this kind of teaching, who will believe this kind of falsehood, they too will be damned. They too will be tormented in the lake of fire and brimstone forever and ever. This morning, if you are here and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you listen to all these teachings, false teachings, false religions, false belief, my dear friends, you will suffer the consequences of God's punishment. But today, by the grace of God, you are here and you're listening to the truth of the Bible. I hope that you will receive this truth. You will receive our Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible says He is the way, the only way, the only truth, the only life. Only He can give you what your soul really needs. And that is salvation, forgiveness of all your sins. So really, what is more serious? Is it a wolf in sheep clothing? It's serious. If it is among us, it's serious. It can go about devouring people. But what I think is more serious, more dangerous, is a wolf in shepherd's clothing. May God help us to be careful. Put out our guard. Know your Bible. Know your God. Know your word. Know the truth. And if you really know the truth, you can tell what is fake, what is counterfeit. May God grant us that kind of a discernment, that kind of a wisdom, that we are no prey, that we will not fall victim to false teachings. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that your word this morning would truly be stamped upon the table of our hearts. These words that come from the lips of our Savior Jesus Christ, who says, beware of false prophets, for they will come into our churches in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Lord, may you spare your church. May you spare each one here, that none of us here will fall victim and be devoured by him and be destroyed in our lives. God have mercy. May there always be the faithful preaching of the Word of God. May there be faithful preachers, faithful teachers, faithful parents, Lord, so that we can really rejoice in that day when we shall stand before your judgment seat to know, Lord, that by your grace, we have done that which is needful for us. Hear this our prayer, for we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.